Perek Yud Gimel Posik Dalet, it says as follows. Ve'im baheret levanahi ba'or b'saro ve'omek ve'amok ein mar'eh min ha'or u'sara lo hafach levan ve'hisgir ha'kohen et ha'nega shivat yamin. So over here we're clearly speaking about some type of an lesion on the skin. It's virtually unanimous, which means that there are some notable exceptions, but it's virtually unanimous that the malady that we're speaking of is not what we would call leprosy. But I'm not saying everybody agrees. There are those who say, no, it's leprosy. But we're dealing with something which is fundamentally considered to be a spiritual problem, and hence the person who's approached and who looks at it is the Kohen and not a doctor. In general, and hopefully we'll get to this as we move on, but in general, the problem with Tumah, generally, the problem with Tumah is one of proximity to Kedusha. Which means it's very difficult to find a really good translation of the word Tumah. It's very difficult to find a very good translation of the word Tahara. How exactly, in English, you would say these things. It's not simply purity and impurity, but Tumah seems to be something which fundamentally expresses a relationship towards the Mishkan or Mikdash, or things which are Kadosh. That would seem to be. Of course, anybody can ask me, okay, what about the laws of Nida? Well, that's why it's interesting that if you look at the laws of Tumah and Tahara, let me rephrase that. If you go searching for the laws of Nida, which actually also make its way in this week's parasha, the laws of Nida are found in two separate sections in the Chumash. One within the sections dealing with Tumah and Tahara, which is really why it's here this week. And the other time that is in the list of Arayot, in forbidden relationships. So it happens to have both. There's actually a pasuk in the beginning of Eicha, which I think encapsulates both sides of it. But that's not for now. Over here, at least the verse we're starting with, it talks about this lesion that this person has. The Kohen looks at it, and then we're told as follows, V'hisgir ha-Kohen et ha-Nega Shabbat Yamin. So the problem that we have is, what does this mean, V'hisgir? What does Sagir mean? V'hisgir, Sagar. What does it mean? Now the easy thing to do is just to look at an English translation, or for that matter, you look in Rashi or so on, and then this should be very, very simple. But before I do that, there's actually two things that you can do. I did both, but I'm saying there's two things you can do. One is you can go straight to a shortcut, and you could look at something which you have in your very last source, in source 25, and that's called Sefer Sharashim L'Radak, Otasamech Erech Sagar. And here he'll give you all the definitions of the word Sagar. And there are numerous. The other thing you can do is, actually, let's look at a couple of sources just to see what our possibilities are. Now, of course, the most likely is what Rashi is going to tell us. If it'll make you happy to see Rashi right away, look at source 7, Vihizgir. Yeskirenu bibayit echad, v'lo yirod ad sofa shavua. Is that he'll close them up in a house, Vihizgir? He'll close them up. So just take a look for a couple of seconds to see what our possibilities are regarding the word sagar. Look at source number 2. Vayapel Hashem Elokim tardema al ha'adam vayishan, vayikach achad mitzalotav vayizgor basar tachtena. So over here, it sounds very much like the idea of that he closed it up, right? In Perek Zayin, Vabaim zachar nekivar mekol basaro ba'ok asher tzivano to Elokim, vayizgor Hashem ba'ado. And God, again, it sounds closed up, but God closed up the ark. So again, closed afterwards. So all that seems really straightforward, that it always means closed, correct? Source 5. So they're also, you can say, closed off. They were. What about source number 6? Which is actually the reason why it's most interesting to me, because here's a verse that is speaking about something which is kadosh. So what does the word misgeret mean over here? So you can also say it comes from the word close, but it's a different connotation. What does it mean over here? What?
And
close. It's not exactly the same thing. And as we start looking at the various commentaries here, you'll see why that example is interesting. Look at source number 9, for example. In Tehillim, Perek Ayin Ched, Pasuk Nun, Yipales Nativ La'apo, Lo Chasach, Mimavit Nafsham, V'chayatam L'dever, Hisgir. Over here, the Mitzudot Tzion tells us what's Hisgir? Misira. Now that's also used in modern Hebrew that way. Over here, Hisgir is to give over. Must be a better word in English for that. When they ask,
was put in custody.
In custody. No, not at all. Quarantine over here. Over here, his gear is to give somebody over to somebody.
That's like extradition.
Extradition, right. So this is a complete. Again, you could say that there's something which is similar to all this. But okay, let's look. Just move over to the Radak now. Take a look at what he came up with. Sagar v'del sagar acharav, sagar et paretz ir David, v'ashem sagar rachma, v'sagar dilatcha ba'adecha. And as I said, you could take a look at the rest of his usages over here. And as I said, this really should not be an issue, and this really should be very straightforward. And therefore, what Rashi tells us should be absolutely convincing. And then let's go back and let's take a look at Rashi again now. Back in source number 7. V'hisgir yisgirenu bivayit echad. That the person who has this skin or suspicion of this skin problem, they get closed up. On the other hand, take a look at the chiskuni in source number 8. V'hisgir ha-kohen ul'sov shevet yamim yitbonen ha-kohen. Over here, v'hisgir ha-kohen really means an analysis, yitbonen, to look at and to think of, and it sounds like a very different type of interpretation. Let's take a look at 11. V'hisgir, the Balei HaTosfot, Ki az yakir hapishayon, ki adam ha-ra'ed davar tadir, b'chol yom, v'hu gadal ma'at ma'at, eino mavchin bigdulo. That the problem is if you look, why does the person need to be put away for 7 days? So not to look at it. Because if you look at something every single day, then you don't notice the small change. So he says, therefore, v'gam, and he gives an example. Begam Noach imtin shivat yamim bishlichut hayona kedei levchin b'chisaron hamayim. And it's a very interesting comparison that we have the same 7 days. Noach sends away the bird to see, and the water's going down, but you wouldn't notice it every day. V'leik alameima hocha sheyaser siman saviv hanega v'yivchin b'pishayon. And it's not, and here he gives a different interpretation, and it's not that you put a circle around it. Now that's another interpretation. This is one which is found in the Gaonim. It's not that you put a circle around it. Old Pam, v'leika l'mei mahoche she'yaseh siman saviv hanega, v'yavchin b'pishyon, d'shem ha'bal hanega yimchok ha'siman. Because maybe then he's going to go and erase it. V'yasenu b'rachol k'dei shireh shelo pashav yitarenu. Aval b'netek oseh siman min ha-seyar d'chtiv v'tgalech lafi shehu siman she'enu yachol lizdayef. So it's very interesting that over here, he is actually suggesting or rejecting a second interpretation. What does it mean? Oh, and it's much closer to the misgeret, to enclosure. And now, as I said, what Rashi said is very convincing. One of the reasons what Rashi is saying is very convincing is because knowledge that we have from other places, but we'll come back to that knowledge in a second. Look at the Tor, which is similar in 12. Vinei hanega omed be'enav. Katav Ramban writes, Rashi Piresh omad be'enav mar'ehu v'shiro rishon v'kamo. We'll skip a little bit over here. Aval, where it's bolded, Avi Adoni Avi Harash, the Tor, his father was the Rush, Zal, Omer Shetzarech Lasod Roshem Svivot Hanega. Exactly that interpretation that we just now saw that he didn't like. Over here we find the Tor actually quotes his father, the Rush, by saying this. L'siman l'rot im yifsha, in order to see how this changes or how this may spread. Ki hecha t'chazinu b'nagei Rosh, okay, and so on. And that's what it means, hesker. Hesker, he's saying, doesn't mean anything about putting him in a house or anything like this. It means putting an enclosure or putting a circle around where the thing is. Udelo kapirish Rashi. Shapirish masgiro bebayit kol shiva. That he says, no, that means that you enclose the person. You put him in the house. He says, go through all of the Mishnah by Masechet Negaim, and you never find once that it says you have to put the person in a house. It doesn't say anything about putting him in a house. By the way, it doesn't say v'hizgir ha-nagur. Very good. D'mashma makom ha-nega v'enu omer v'hizgir Hanagua. It doesn't say the person himself. Now go back and look at the pasuk over here. Because again, we grow up with Rashi, we're just so convinced that that's what it says. And there's another reason we're convinced of it, which we'll come back to in a minute. And let's read it again. V'im baheret levonahi ba'or b'sarov omek in marem in ha'or sara lo hafach lavan v'hizgir ha'kohen et hanega shivat yamim. So are you still convinced that what Rashi said is the only way to understand this? Or is the Rush... You see what's bothering the Rush. What's bothering the Rush is the words don't say what Rashi thinks that they say. Or at least according to his understanding of it. Because it doesn't say that... Now, of course, if you had to defend Rashi, how would you defend Rashi? It's not that this person you're incarcerating the Nega. It happens to be the Nega's on the person, so therefore... You're putting him in. But again, it's very interesting over here that you have two... Again, I think it's radically different interpretations over here. One is that Rashi is saying you put the person inside a house and you close the door, while the Rush seems to be saying is you take the person and you put a circle around the place where the Nega is in order to try to evaluate it. Now, even the interpretation that we saw by the Datzakein of Balei HaTosfot, who were not convinced in terms of the circle around it, but they still were going in the same direction because you want to see the change was taking place. Yeah, of course it could have, and it most certainly did. But we'll come back to that in a second. It could be enclosed, but over here makes a big difference: enclosing the person, enclosing the wound. V'hisgir yiskirenu b'bayit echad. The Ketav Kabbalah, source 13. V'hatur Ketav v'shem Aviv Harash lo matzina mechom masechet negayim shiskirenu b'bayit. Which means this law, which Rashi's telling us, is very nice, except we don't find it at all in all of Masechet Negaim. It just never mentions this fact. The Gama Pasukum of Yisgirin HaNega, right? So this we saw. V'nirili, she'ein dat Rashi, she's going to go in b'bayit v'ina al hadelet acharav, right? Midlo huskar ni'ila, kibishoftim yisgir delet v'ina al. It doesn't say that you lock him in the house, you know, that he's incarcerated. Says you close that you put him in the house, which again he's trying to nuance it a little bit. He then quotes va'od before beperik yud gimel d'negaim demutu lemitzora lichnos lebeit haknesset v'gam behesger debayit haminuga ein mochrach shetzrichim lehesger b'ni lat delet aval haskira b'bayit echad hustimat delet habayit. What does it mean? It means to close the door. Shiyoshav bo badad. Okay, that's getting back to this point that he should be in isolation. V'lo tiena delatot beito p'tuchot l'chol over v'shav k'derech kol p'tchei habatim. So what it's explaining over here is that we're not dealing with a situation that the person himself necessarily needs to be locked up, but rather, and again, it's very interesting the way that he's phrasing this, rather what he's saying is that normally, you know, it sounds almost like he has this vision of Avraham's tent, and Avraham's tent is opened up, and Avraham's tent opened up, you see as the people pass by, and then you could interact with the people that are coming by. Over here, no, it's closed, again, not locked, but a lack of interaction, let's put it that way. And he quotes over here, Re'iti, a little bit further down, Re'iti, the Tzad Geonim Pirish Hezger Shehu HaKafat HaTzerat B'Sikra K'dei L'Ro'ot Mitucha Im Yavshav Yatzah L'Chutz V'Huda Tarash. And he says, no, and he brings down that there are a number of Gaonim who really explain, meaning the Rush is not the one who just made this up. He has a tradition. He has a Masorah about this. And the Masorah undoubtedly goes back to try to say the simple pshat or understanding of the text. He's saying really is that the circle which is put is around the wound to see if it ends up growing and going outside of it or not. But Vim Trichim Yeshuv, Ta'anat HaRosh HaRashi Medeloktiv Hizgir Et HaMenuga Nirli She'ein Zeh Ta'anat HaRashi. He doesn't love the, in terms of the language, it's a good point, but doesn't feel that it's absolutely conclusive. Ki Kavon She'mechanein Et Adam HaPi Ma'asav She'nekra Ish B'Shem Merma, and so on. Which again, when it says that you enclose the wound, so it doesn't mean necessarily just the wound, it can be the person with the wound. And as I said, he goes on a little bit more. Those of you who enjoy Diktuk incredibly can look at the rest of the Ketav Kabbalah. But again, the point over here becomes a very, very, very simple point. The Rush is being a little bit more focused on the exact language, and therefore he's convinced that the only thing which is enclosed is the wound, while Rashi seems to be convinced that you enclose the whole person inside the house. Yes. Correct. And we'll come to that in a second. The quarantine is... We'll try to get to meaning, whether we have to get to meaning or not. Well, 1 second. We'll try to get to meaning. Whether we have to get to meaning is a different question. And ultimately, there are certain things which I can say at the end of the day, it's some kind of a chok. This is just what the Torah says. And we subjectively can come to some kind of understanding. But over here, at least on the first level, it really is a question of simply what the pshat in the words are. And we all imagine one thing, and while we find here that there are other traditions, and it goes back to what the word sagar means. Does it really mean that you close the door on the person? Does it mean you make a circle around the thing? So those are very different interpretations. Now again, you can say one is more micro, one is macro, and they could have other implications. But as I said, there's a couple of things which are taking us in two different directions, and I want to try to explain them. One thing is, and this is should be in the back of everyone's mind, this is source 14, which is in the same chapter, just another 40-something verses later. Kol yimei asher hanega bo yitma tamehu badad yeshev michutz l'machaneh moshavo. The entire time that this person has this kind of leprosy, tzarat, then the person needs to sit outside of the machaneh. And even better than that, not just outside, badad yeshev. He should sit in isolation. Now, does this come to confirm what we saw in the earlier verse? The Kohen is the one who puts him in isolation. Or is this an independent statement? That's really the question over here. According to Rashi, it sounds as if Rashi is telling us that this is the confirmation of what was already told us before, while it sounds like, according to the Rashi, or for that matter, the Gaonim, that if we're being told this now, then why do we need to be told this before? And therefore, these are presumably two different things. One is a much more technical circling of the actual wound, and the other is putting this person in isolation. Right, the other one you're checking, correct. You have the 7 days that you're checking. But as I said, is that we seem to imagine the earlier Vayisager within the lens of this over here. And that seems to be the problem, and you're correct, that they may not be talking about the same thing at all. So if that's the question, then if that's the point, then why are we suspecting that even beforehand there's also a situation of complete hitbodidut, although today hitbodidut can mean something else. Now over here when it says, yeshev michutz l'machane, I do want to clarify one thing which may not be completely clear, and that is what exactly does the word machane mean over here? Take a look, and this was just looking for a source that said it clearly, look at source 15. Tosefta in Masechet Kelim. U'kishem shayu b'midbar shalosh machanot, machane shechina. Now imagine like concentric circles. So you have the center, and then wider around it. Ukeshem shayu b'midbar shalosh machanot, machane shechina, that would be the center, that would be the innermost camp where the shechina is. Machane leviyah, that would be the leviyim surrounding where the mishkan is. Machane Yisrael would be around that. Kach b'Yerushalayim, mipetach Yerushalayim v'ad petach harabayit machane Yisrael, mipetach harabayit v'ad shar nikana machane leviyah, Mishar Nikanar Ulufnim Machane Shchina. Vehin hin klaim sheb b'midbar uvishat masod ein behem mishum k'tusha ve'ein chavim alei mishum tuma. That the format of the kedusha in the desert was the same format. Now, when it says over here chutz l'machane, so which machane is it talking about? Is it outside of the mishkan? Is it outside of the machane leviyah? Is it outside of the machane Yisrael? So now, look at Rashi in source 17 on the pasuk Badad Yeshev. The person should be sitting in isolation. Shelo yushar tmeim yoshvim imo, which means I could have said, till I have the pasuk or the word Badad that he needs to be isolated, I could have said is that I have a basic problem, and that goes back to what I said in the very beginning. The idea of Tum'ah is one of distance from Kedusha. That's the definition of Tum'ah. Tum'ah is distance from Kedusha. So I could say that somebody who has, again, let's just think things that we're familiar with. For example, somebody who's Tameh and therefore they can't eat the Korban Pesach. Somebody who's Tameh can't eat Truma, they can't, right? And we can keep on going on. Tuma and Kedusha are opposites. So it's not a question of pure or impure, it's a question of inability of approaching holiness. So therefore, I could say that all people that are Tameh have something essentially in common. What is it in common? They can't approach Kedusha. So in this particular case, what does it say? Rashi again, Badad Yeshev, Shelo Yushar Tmeim Yoshvim Imo, that his particular brand of Tum'ah is one that should lead to absolute isolation. This should lead to absolute isolation. V'omru Rabotenu, so those of you looking, it's actually a phrase that Chazal used numerous times, ma nishtana, how is this different? Right? I am in Rashi in source 17. Okay? So again, for Amu Rabotenu, the rabbi said, ma nishtana mishar tmeim leshev badad, thank you. Why, even though Rabbi Soloveitchik insisted by Pesach, it's not why is it different, it's how different is this day. It's very unconvincing when you find the term used in other places. Manishtanami shart me'im leshev badad. Why is this different from all the other tumot, that not only is there distance from the Mishkan, or from the Kedusha, but also a requirement of isolation? Ho'il v'hu hivdil b'lashon hara ben ish l'ishto u'ben ish l're'ehu afhu yibadel. Because he causes separation between a man and his wife, or between a man and his friend, Therefore, he needs to be separated.
Is that a definition of tuma?
So, the Gemara in Erechin gives seven different reasons of why tzarat comes. Despite the seven different reasons, the predominant one is lashon hara. Over here, again, if we'll just think about ish v'ishto, lashon hara, and ish v'ishto between man and his wife, it seems to, again, that is also something of kedusha. The relationship between man and wife is one of holiness, and he is doing havdalah. Right, havdalah bin kodesh l'chol, as it were. He is separating between this and causing there to be a breakdown in that relationship. So therefore, he seems to be saying, and therefore this person cannot be with other human beings because he causes this type of breakdown. Moreover, he says also between man and his friend, which is also a situation, although I would not necessarily have called that holiness, he says this person needs to be by himself. Michutz l'machaneh. Rashi here writes, chutz l'shalosh machanot. So what does chutz l'machanot mean? It means completely isolated, completely outside of all of the machanot. Now, I do want to think together for a second. First of all, let me make an observation which we've made before. According at least to Chazal, the first one to cause or to try to make a separation, and he succeeded, between a man and his wife, was the Nachash. Actually, after they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, according to the Midrash, they separated for 130 years. I guess they didn't have any therapists to help them then. But can you imagine the fight they had afterwards? Because so you got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and so on, because of me, because of you, and whatever. So it says for 130 years, they, I guess if you live for 930 years, to be separated for 130 could just be a regular fight. although it's interesting, and again, this is something that you shouldn't miss in terms of the image, and that is the relationship between the tzara'at, again, whatever this leprosy is, and the skin of the snake. Because there is, at that point, some kind of connection. Again, and especially if Chazal are trying to bring it back. Yeah, that's the only thing you'll remember from today. So once we blame it on the Nachash, so therefore the skin of the serpent, and getting serpent-like skin, just then creates a whole another understanding of what the tzarat is. Okay, now here's the problem, which should be concerning us. If we were to think about the idea of tuma, and I'm going to go back again. What is tuma? It's separateness from holiness. So normally, and had any of us not thought about this that much, and somebody just, you know, ask you, okay, what's the worst type of tuma, or the most, I don't even want to use the word worst, what is the most intense type of tuma? I think most of us would have said the tumat meit, coming in contact with the dead, that's avi avota tuma, that is the ava tuma, that is the most intense type of tuma, that is the, I mean, tuma, as much as I said, it's a separate from holiness, it's also, tuma does have connection with death as well, it certainly has connection with death as well. And I would have said, all of us would have said that that's the worst time. Now, on the other hand, what do we find? That if I use the separation from Mishkan as my way of judging it, somebody who has tumat meit, it's not a separation from shalosh machanot. It's not a separation from three machanot. It's only one machaneh. You can't go. You can't go into the Mishkan itself, or you can't. Or you can't eat certain kachim. It's not as intense as tzarat is. Now, the easy way that none of us will be satisfied with The easy way to, and it's actually, we're going to see it's the opposite of what the easy way is. The easy way to have understood this is, oh, maybe we're dealing with real leprosy, and real leprosy is very contagious. The fact that real leprosy is very contagious, therefore you have to quarantine them. That makes a lot of sense. Although, we keep finding that Chazal insists that this is dealing with a spiritual problem and not a physical problem. So then we come to the realization that it's the opposite. It's that because we're dealing with an intense spiritual problem, it uses as its metaphor and physical manifestation leprosy, which is contagious because of the seriousness of the spiritual problem over here. Was that clear what I just now said? I'm saying it's the opposite. So therefore, we're dealing with something which is so spiritually debilitating that therefore it requires this absolute and total separation. Something, again, which we would not have imagined otherwise. So, what is this which makes it so bad, which actually makes it far worse than death itself? So I'm saying that's really what we need to be thinking about.
So basically,
No. I said that the person who speaks Lashon Hara and causes a separation between them, that person is considered to be dangerous
and thrown out.
Correct. Okay. Now, the reason that we kept on thinking about the idea of being closed up really comes back to the narrative. In Source 18, Vayitzak Moshe El Hashem Lemor, El Na Refana La, right? This is regarding to Miriam. Miriam is ill. Miriam, which is struck with Tzarat. And Moshe says a prayer. What prayer does he say? Kel na refa na la. By the way, when you want to say a Misha Berech for somebody, and you don't necessarily know the name, over here you note that Moshe doesn't say Miriam, but Yochevet, he just says Kel na refa na la. You don't actually need to know someone's name to be able to pray for them. And by the way, this prayer was quite effective, actually. Vayomar Hashem el Moshe, Vavio Yarok Yarak, Befanea, Lo Tikalem Shivat Yamim, Tisager Shivat Yamim Michutz Lamachane, Vachar Teasef, Vatisager Miriam Michutz Lamachane Shivat Yamim. So it seems to be that is what's going on. Again, here she speaks Lashon Hara against Moshe. Over here, she sent out of the Machane, and we have the word Vatisager. So over here, you can understand why Rashi would have gone in that direction. And despite all this, as I said, the Rush just feels that the language is nonetheless somewhat different. I want to go back just to note something else in the very first source that we saw. V'im Baheret Livana. Right, if we're dealing with something which is white, in Baheret Levanahi, Ba'orbisarava Omek in Maremina Or Usara, Lohafach Lavan. It has not turned white. We have over here this emphasis on Lavan, Levana and Lavan over here. Now that, again, there are so many things here that we're just not familiar with. On the other hand, if you think a little bit about Miriam, what are we told about her? She actually complains that Moshe married an Isha Kushit. And then she gets Tzarat, it says Kisheleg. She becomes white as snow. She's complaining about somebody being black, and she becomes, well, okay, you like white? We'll make you white. And then she gets Tzarat Kisheleg, which is absolutely wonderful poetic justice. No. That's a person. Lavan Kisheleg over here. It says that, again, she's complaining. No. It's very nice what I said, but I'll show you the weakness of it. It's very nice, but there's a weakness nonetheless. I know. I said there's a weakness nonetheless. The weakness is that when Moshe says Lashon Hara against Am Yisrael, they're not going to believe me. God says, take your hand, put it inside, and his hand becomes, it also uses the phrase there, it becomes white as snow. Over here it's also. So. As nice as it was over there. And by the way, it doesn't discount that, okay, that's why she gets this particular punishment. But again, it's largely, though not exclusively, it's largely because of Miriam that we do make this association between Tzarat and Lashon Hara. Yes?
Could you please
No. Yes. Yeah.
So I said, no, that's why it's so nice. She's complaining that she's black. So she, okay, you like white? We'll make you white. Okay? Sure, there are plenty of sotot. Who told you there never was? Sure. Yeah, but Moshe's was also part of his own humility. They're not going to believe. So he says, no, they will. Which means at the end, his humility, and meaning hers, it was the complete opposite. Hers was actually a lack of humility. You know, who are you? But by Moshe, it was an extension of humility. Yeah, you can be humble, but not on somebody else's account. Okay, let's. Of course I said other things. Of course I said other things. That's all irrelevant. Black, this bothers you? Does this bother you what I said now? What I said now is very good. You know what? There's the only problem with saying this. Now there's two things you're going to remember. You remember the snake and you remember about this, okay? Nothing else. So, now look at Rashi in source 19. Rashi's commenting on Moshe. When Moshe puts his hand in, takes it out, Moshe gets tzarat. Mitzarat kisheleg, there it also uses tzarat, which is white as snow. Derech tzarat liot levana. That tzarat is something becoming white. And then it quotes our verse that we were talking about. Right, afpa odzer ramaz loshon harasi per ba'omro liyaminu li. They're not going to believe me. So over here also, there's a sense, and again, yes, what's the difference? You know, Moshe speaks against all of Am Yisrael. She only speaks against Moshe. But again, this is an extension of Moshe's modesty. They're not going to believe me. So hold it a second. You want to be modest, you be modest. But not. Right. Am Yisrael is going to, Am Yisrael, Maminim, B'nai Maminim. Don't be so quick to say that they're not going to believe. Now this image over here of Tzarat turning white. So I already explained in terms of Miriam, but that's not going to be enough for every single case. So I do want to show you how this has come out, this idea of the whiteness. And again, this goes back to this point of needing to be separated and needing to be quarantined and needing to be out of the community, where it all may come from. Take a look at source number 20. We are getting close to holidays, so this is good. Rabbi Elazar Hamoda'i. Elazar Hamoda'i, his name either could be Moda'i because he likes to talk about holidays or because he's from Modi'in. Rabbi Elazar Hamoda'i Omer, Hamechalel et HaKadshim, if you desecrate something which is holy, Vahamevaze et HaMoadot, over here you see him talking about holidays, if you, what does Mevaze mean? Mevaze et HaMoadot. Disgrace the holidays. Vahamal bin Pnei Chaveru Barabim, and you embarrass somebody publicly. V'hameifo brito shel Avram Avinu alav Hashalom v'magal panim b'torah shelo kalacha afal pishesh biyado Torah masim tov me'elu chelak olam haba. All of these things have one thing in common, and that there's holiness over here which is not being discerned, or holiness which is being trampled upon. That's the common denominator of everything which is being mentioned over here in this Mishnah. Rashi writes, source 21, Rashi on Pirkei Avos, which there is some question whether Rashi, the identified, printed, published Rashi is really Rashi or not. So just mention that is a question, whether it's really Rashi. V'hamivaze, chilel cholo shamoed basiyat melacha. What is mivaze et amoedot? Rashi over here says it's cholomoed. Chilel cholo shamoed basiyat melacha o shenoeg behem min hachol ba'achila uvishtia. He says, Mevazet HaMoedot doesn't mean that you desecrated the holiday, or like the first day or the last day, Chol HaMoed. And he says, even by not eating properly or not dressing properly on Chol HaMoed. But that's not why we're here, just because the holiday is coming up. All of these things, it's Bizayon. Afterwards, also Kidvar Hashem Baza. Now, V'hamal ben Pnei Chaveru, two lines from the bottom of the source, Lo Ktiv Hatam B'milte D'Rav Lazar HaMoedot'i B'chalik V'lo Yodan HaHechi Mafikli, sorry, Hamal Bin, the azil smuka v'ati chivra. So what is he saying? So look at source number 22. This is where he's really quoting from. Tani tana kmei d'Reb Nachman b'Yitzchak. Kol hamal bin pnei chaveru barabim ki ilu shofich damim. Anybody who embarrasses somebody publicly is as if they're guilty of murder. murder? Like, what are you talking about?
I'm guilty.
Shaper kamarta. He says, you explained it properly. The chazina, for we see, the chazina le, we see, the ozil sumka va'ati chivra. A person starts with a nice, healthy complexion, and then when they're embarrassed, the blood comes out, and then they turn white. So he says, that's shvichut damim. You cause the blood to go out. That's the way the Gemara understands it, which is, again, very interesting. Now, look what the Alshech does with this in source 23. V'im biheret levanahu ba'or b'sarov amak ein mar'em min ha'or v'sarelo hafach levan v'skir goyen et ha'nega shivat yamim v'nei mar'eh ha'nega levan al davar hayato hora'a l'loshon hara. Again, we normally connect the whole problem of tzarat with l'loshon hara, with speaking gossip. Shehilbin bo. So he just now added this whole aspect into it. And again, I want to stress something, just to see why this really helps us. There is a concept, we all know of it, it's called Lashon Hara. What exactly is Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara is something which may very well be true. But you say Lashon Hara about somebody, that person ends up getting embarrassed. So the embarrassment, you know, turning to... the face turns red or whatever, the blood goes out. That's what the Gemara was explaining over here. Of course, the Gemara was giving a case, Amal ben Pnei Chaveiro Barabim, that's a particular type, that's Shvichat Damim. But the extension of this is that any type of causing somebody embarrassment is also on a certain level considered to be Shvichat Damim. That's really what the Alshech is adding in over here.
I didn't hear what you just said. Please explain.
That any type of embarrassing somebody seems to be partial murder. Let's put it that way. Partial murder. That seems to be what he's saying. Shenishbach dam panav lamata begufo mea or ulefnim vihilbin or bisaro. So, first of all, what is the Alshech doing? The Alshech is searching for some type of a connection between the punishment and between the crime. So again, to establish a connection between leprosy, what we call leprosy, tzara'at, and the way the Gemara phrased it, and motzi shemra, tzara'at, motzi shemra, they heard that there's a similarity between the words. But as I said, the Gemara in Erechin that talks about the various connections, not just motzi shemra, it's also lashon hara. What is being added here by the Alshech is that we have this whole separate discussion, having nothing to do per se with Lashon Hara, but dealing with Hamalbin Pnei Chaveiro Barabim. Why is that connected? Because Hamalbin is, if it turns it white. What over here is the Alshech trying to accomplish? He's trying to somehow create linkage between not just Tzara'at with misspeaking, because that we already have with Miriam. I mean, that's already there, but he's trying to go one step further and ask, so why white? Now, I already gave you, by Miriam, which is the one case, because the content of what she says, I was able to say that she complains about you don't like black, so you'll be white. So that was very easy, but how does that work in every other case other than Miriam? Again, unless you want to say that Miriam becomes the archetype of all Lashon Hara, and therefore every other Lashon Hara somehow has a little bit of Miriam in her, but that's a more difficult argument to make. So therefore, in terms of the Midah Keneged Midah, and why the person is going to become white specifically, so he wants to say is that when it really comes down to it, all Lashon Hara is something which the victim feels humiliating. The victim feels that they're humiliated. When the victim feels humiliated, there is going to be the sense of embarrassment, and what he's really trying to do is to try to somehow to connect the punishment with that sense of embarrassment which was experienced. Which means, again, all of this flows after the point of Badad. As far as the question of, Vayesger, which was the first part of what we discussed, so you're right. That was the first one when there's a suspicion of the problem. So the suspicion of the problem doesn't mean that they're actually isolated. At that point, does it just mean that you take a look at the thing? So it seems to be that what the Rush and the Gaonim are doing is that they're really separating the initial problem, when it's only a suspicion of the problem, then they're just isolating the exact thing to see if it's a problem or not. And there's no isolation at that point. While it seems to be that a way that the Rashi's understanding it, by connecting it, again, he didn't tell us this, but that seems to be what he's doing, by connecting with Miriam, there, by Yisager, by Miriam, is already, that is when she's kicked out of Shalosh Machanot. That's when she is Michutz L'Machaneh, which means that is, there is when she is Bodad and really being isolated. So therefore, it seems to be that the way that Rashi's understanding it, that even when there is this suspicion of the problem, already there needs to be some type of an isolation, which therefore leads us more to this spiritual issue. Do I start looking for the spiritual reasons when there's only a suspicion of a problem? Or do I start looking at the spiritual issues only when there's a confirmation of the problem? And that would seem to be the difference between the approaches that we're taking. But again, let's work now a little bit harder. In terms of all of the types of tumah, let's go back to the beginning. What is tumah? Tumah is relative distance from kedusha. The very first act of misspeak does cause a division between Adam and Eve, but more than that, it causes them to be expelled from the Garden of Eden, and therefore to be expelled from the place which was really at that point most holy. So therefore, the expulsion from the Garden of Eden really is analogous to being kicked out of all the machanot. Second point, eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is what the serpent actually instigates, which is speech, is what actually brings death into the world. Which means over here you have a carrier of death, not death manifesting itself. So now what's really worse? So you say, hold it, death is worse than something which is a carrier of death, although not necessarily. Because again, meaning tumat meit is something where we don't really care ultimately how the person died. It doesn't really make that much of a difference in terms of the actual tumah. But over here, this person who speaks lashon hara, this person who's guilty of hamal ben pnei chaver, or the person who's guilty of this humiliation of this other human being, and therefore can actually cause the person to suffer death on multiple occasions. Every single time that, you know, this lashon hara gets repeated, he has a little bit of this humiliation, embarrassment, again, and these little pieces of death. It's interesting that actually indicates far more tum'ah than actual, you know, death. Again, what's the phrase that a coward can die 1,000 deaths? But this person, it's not necessarily the coward, the victim over here is victimized again and again and again, and that person who's guilty of that is actually a carrier of death, as it were, like the nachash, and that person is isolated completely from the camps, from all Shalosh Machanot. But as I said, what's interesting then is that when it comes to tum'ah, even though we all would have thought that tumat meit is worse than tumat zarat, it's not the case. Tumat zarat is actually the worst type of tum'ah, because it's one which causes absolute isolation, because this person is simply undeserving of being in society. And as much as, again, I would have said, hold it, this is maybe it's just regular leprosy, and therefore there's such a high degree of contagion, that it's contagious, and therefore I've separated, but it's the opposite. It's that we're using the leprosy, which is so contagious, as the spiritual expression of something which is so profoundly dangerous, and that's why the leprosy is being used over here as the expression, but not because this is leprosy per se. But as I said, and then you trace all the way back, it does go back to the serpent, it goes back to the scaly skin, if you want to throw Miriam inside, and Miriam becoming white, in terms of as the archetype of all types of, so you have your choice, you want Miriam, you want the Nachash, but it seems really to be a comparison, a combination of all these things. Yes. Right. It spreads, and then one has no ability of actually pulling it in. So again.